Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We will have to wait a single day to watch Jack Caglione play right field at the major league level. Final hour of the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Logan Weber in here with you, filling in for C-Dot. Rob Brenton behind the glass producing the show, doing a great job as always. Everybody was hoping, after getting a chance to see Jack DH last night, he goes 0 for 5, but did some, you know, very, very positive things, some things that gave you some more optimism about him. He was going to play right field tonight, bat 6th. With the weather in St. Louis, the game got postponed, so we will have to wait until presumably 12:45 tomorrow afternoon. If the lineup remains the same, Cags will bat 6th again, and he will play right field as the Royals try to secure a series win against the Cardinals after some pretty recent struggles for them. Cags, like I said, 0 for 5 last night, but should have had, I mean, and under normal circumstances, he's got 2 hits last night, if not 3. First at bat he has, you know, he's able to work it, and he gets a pitch he likes. He lines it 109-plus out to right center field, but the guy playing center field for the St. Louis Cardinals is Victor Scott II, who is one of the fastest players in Major League Baseball. During my time in Springfield, I got a chance to watch him live more than once when he was playing for the Springfield Cardinals. He is an elite, elite level fielder with his speed and what he's got. I mean, he's one of the fastest guys in baseball. So that's, you know, if anybody else is in center field, really, that's probably a double. And then he hits a frozen rope to third base, 113 miles an hour. He just hit it right at Nolan Arenado, who has more gold gloves than anybody in baseball in the last 15 years, I want to say. Maybe even longer than that. I mean, a guy who has won 10 gold gloves, not just gold gloves, he's got 6 platinum gloves during his major league career. That's a tough third baseman to try to hit a ball past. Overall, he didn't register a hit last night, but he still hit the ball well. Didn't strike out a single time yesterday. He saw 10 pitches. He put bat on ball on 7 of those 10 pitches, which means he's seeing it well right now. And I am very, very confident that we will see Jack Caglione have at least his first hit by the time this series is over tomorrow. In fact, I wouldn't go so far as to say I'd put money on it, but there's a part of me that's confident we might see Jack Caglione's first home run at some point tomorrow during that doubleheader. Question is, does he play both games of that doubleheader? My guess would be yes. I don't think he answered many questions yesterday, but I don't think he raised any new ones. somebody just said Gold Gloves are a popularity contest. They are to some extent, but still, he's got 6 Platinum Gloves. Nolan Arenado is the best fielding third baseman maybe ever. I said maybe for, you know, people coming at me. I've got $100 on a home run tonight. Well, he's not going to hit one tonight.
That's a nice voided bet.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe you could throw it tomorrow, right? Game tonight postponed on account of the weather in St. Louis. And they closed the zoo. There's tornado watches going on. I mean, the weather that we got yesterday here in the metro area, to some extent, is kind of what's hitting them in St. Louis today, apparently. So the game postponed. It'll be a split doubleheader tomorrow, 12:45 and 6:45. So, yeah, make sure that that's a voided bet. Otherwise, put that $100 on him to hit a home run tomorrow at some point. Can you do it? Can you do like a 2-for-1 in that sort of thing? Or does it have to be on a game-by-game basis?
Game by game.
That's what I figured.
Can you imagine the losses FanDuel would take if you're like going to bet, or DraftKings, or I'm going to bet on the day. There's 2 games today, so I'm going to get 8 at-bats for the home run. It's game by game.
Yeah, otherwise, yeah, it makes sense. Because you get... Yeah, 2 for the price of 1. That's a hell of a deal.
The casinos, they're not really that ones for giving out deals.
Vegas isn't that nice to folks. Is that what you're saying? What the hell am I supposed to do tonight? I don't know. Find something else to do. Unfortunately, the boys in blue will not be suiting up to take on the St. Louis Cardinals. But I'm still very, very confident in Jack Caglione's ability. I'm not one of those people that has had these otherworldly expectations for him. Like, I mean, I have had actual serious conversations with people that are saying, oh, I think Jack Caglione could hit 35 home runs this year in 100 games. Oh, I think Jack Caglione hits 290. I think he hits 300. I think he drives in 80 runs. He's Mike Trout. He's just going to walk in and hit the ball the caliber that Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge are hitting it right now. He has that kind of potential, especially from a power standpoint. But folks, he's 22 years old. He's played 50 games of minor league baseball. I have said 250, 260, right? That's my hope for him. 250, 260. He hits 20 to 25 home runs, drives in 50 or 60, right? He's got 50, 60 ribbies, an on-base percentage hovering around 300, 310. That would be great for Jack Caglione in a rookie season in which he's had this meteoric rise from AA all the way to the pros before the midway point of June. He gets called up prior to the Super 2 deadline. I don't think that's being talked about enough. I think that's very, very telling for this Royals team. To call him up before the Super 2 deadline, which basically the Super 2 is a deadline that fluctuates in Major League Baseball year to year. What it basically means is anybody who's called up before that Super 2 deadline, Jack Caglione, for example, now, he will now be eligible for arbitration, not this offseason, but next offseason. If you get called up before the Super 2 deadline, you become eligible for arbitration after 2 years of MLB service and not the typically designated 3 years that the majority of players get. That is, number one, how strongly the Royals feel about Jack Caglione and his ability to help this team win. 2, I think it shows a slight bit, I don't want to say a lot, but there is a slight amount of desperation with calling up a 22-year-old kid less than a year after you drafted in and sacrificing a Super 2 deadline, sacrificing a year of arbitration. But it may also mean, 3, that the Royals are confident that they can get a long-term deal with him done prior to that becoming problematic. We'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, though, Rob, let's go through the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits.
Number one.
As always, Logan, the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, as you mentioned, the top story of the day in Kansas City is Jack Caglione, who, as you mentioned, we will not get to see or hear play baseball tonight. That split doubleheader starting at 12:45 can be heard tomorrow right here on 96.5 The Fan. But speaking of Jack Caglione, because he is the biggest story in Kansas City, one story about his meteoric rise to the minors was his power. The other story, chase rate, baby. That's a term I hadn't heard a lot, but now you heard it a bunch as he rose up. But considering his bad chase rate, Logan, are you excited with the fact the Royals' top prospect, in fact, did not strike out in his debut yesterday, because that is the knock and the biggest hole in his game?
No question I'm excited about it. I think it continues to show the trend of Jack Caglione seeing the baseball better. This article from MLB.com breaks it down perfectly. As a sophomore at University of Florida, his chase rate was 44%. As a junior, it went down to 39%. Start of his time in minor league baseball after being drafted by the Royals, it was around 36-37%. He made the jump from AA to AAA, and that dropper at chase rate dropped again to around 35% on the year before he made the call up. Now, is that still quite a bit higher than the MLB average of 27.9%? Yes. But there is a marked improvement as he's gotten older and more experienced, and it's gotten better as the level of play he's gone up against has improved itself as well. I'm very, very intrigued by this, and I think last night was a very, very good first step in Jack Caglione continuing to see the ball well.
Number two.
Well, despite the win and Jack Caglione's debut, it was not all rainbows and unicorns in the Royals game yesterday. Michael Lorenzen, the Royals starter, was not great as he struggled to get out of just three innings. When he left the game, the Royals were in a bad spot. Cole Reagans, according to many, is set to come off the IL and start one of the two games tomorrow, which leaves the Royals with quite the conundrum, because that would give them six starting pitchers. Does that mean a six-man rotation is coming? Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star was on the show earlier today, catching the podcast page. We asked him, is a six-man rotation coming to this team?
Right now, a six-man rotation could be on the table, but they have off days every Monday this week, like we mentioned before, and I don't know if that might be where they want to go. They also could have the option to potentially move Michael Lorenzen to the bullpen, but when you look at the way the Royals have starters have been pitching, you really don't have a need for a long relief guy when you can have Daniel Lynch that can do the same thing. You have other guys that can do the same thing. So when you really look at it, they have to decide what is going to be their best option moving forward. And I think a lot of that's going to depend on what happens in today's game. You mentioned Noah Kimbrel starting today. So it's going to be what happens today, how they look, how they want to fit this thing together. But one thing we do know is Cole Reagans is going to start tomorrow, and they have to make a decision. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see what that decision is going to be.
I want you to put your GM hat on, Logan, because the Royals have a conundrum. They have six starters. Noah Kimbrel and Cole Reagans both starting tomorrow. If you were in charge, what is the solution to the Michael Lorenzen problem, both in the short and long term for the Kansas City Royals?
In the short term, Noah Kimbrel becomes your number five starter. It's not just a one-off. Even if he does struggle tomorrow afternoon, because he's going to start game one of that split doubleheader, even if he struggles tomorrow, I think he's proven that he belongs at this level. He's proven he's too talented to be a AAA pitcher. Michael Lorenzen has continued to struggle. So maybe in the short term, there is a possible bullpen role that you can slide him into and hold on to him, because you have had injury concerns with this Royals organization, right? We've seen Reagans go down. He's coming back off the IL now. Lugo's dealt with some injuries. It can't hurt to have a sixth sort of starting pitcher with experience, especially with some younger guys still in this rotation, with Cameron being a rookie and Bubic, who was limited in experience coming off the Tommy John. Can never hurt to have another guy like that. So I think in the short term, you maybe hold on to Lorenzen for a while, see if his value rises. And then the long-term solution, if Cameron works out and this starting pitching rotation can stay healthy, is Lorenzen becomes a DFA or maybe even a trade deadline guy that you package with a prospect or two and try to bring a bat in to help this Royals lineup as we head into the months of August, September, October.
Number three.
Speaking of the Kansas City Royals, voting opened up today for Royals to go to the All-Star game. Me and Logan were looking at it earlier, and Logan, we had an interesting conversation because you think, despite the fact the Royals are in fourth place in the AL Central, and yes, that's fun with numbers by me, you think they should have, in fact, four All-Stars in this year's upcoming All-Star game, both voted on by the fans or added by the manager.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this Royals team has four All-Stars. I really do. I look at the pitching. I see Estevez. I look at the pitching. I see Chris Bubich, who I think should be the manager's decision. That's who they should pick to be their representative, their pitcher, because he's pitching at a Cy Young level. He's got the best ERA in baseball. Not in the American League, not in the Royals pitching rotation, the best ERA in Major League Baseball. Bubich deserves to be an All-Star. Carlos Estevez is in a tie for the most saves in the American League. He's got the second most saves in all of baseball. He's an All-Star. Bobby's going to be an All-Star because he's Bobby. Name recognition. He's having another solid year. Mikel Garcia should be an All-Star for
Michael
this Kansas
Lorenzen's
City.
Michael Lorenzen's a bold pick.
Michael Lorenzen, book it. All-Star, baby. Here we go. Comeback starts now. No, Mikel Garcia deserves to be an All-Star after the way he's played this year. Now, he's got to keep it up, right? This has been the knock, the biggest knock against Mikel Garcia. The last two seasons, we've seen him get off to incredible starts. He got off to a hot start in April, and he struggled in May. Well, this year, he was okay in April, phenomenal in May. What can he do in June, July to further solidify himself? And then beyond that, conversations can be had. Is Kyle Isbell an All-Star? Hitting up over 280. He's a gold glove caliber guy in center field. He can get stuff done on the base paths, but he doesn't have massive power numbers. And we know how important the pop is in Major League Baseball today. Is a guy like Lucas Ursig an All-Star this year? A lot of conversation to be had, but I think this Royals team should have four All-Stars solidified. Four. Will it happen? I don't know, because as we talked about earlier, because it's a fan vote, popularity contest, name recognition becomes a major, major play when it comes to the All-Star.
Number four.
Fourth and final hit of the day, Logan. It's not every day you get to talk Kansas City Chiefs, even in June, as OTA's week two was winding down today, and reports leaking out of One Arrowhead Drive feature one fan favorite looking like he's in the best shape of his life, looking like he put on some good weight this offseason. I'm at Sky Moore. Logan, you buying the hype that Sky Moore's best shape of his life could be a good thing for this Chiefs offense?
Not just no, but God no. No, I don't care if Sky Moore showed up in Kansas City looking like it. I don't care if he showed up 6'4", 210, and ran a 4.3. I mean, maybe I would care in that instance, but that's not going to happen. I don't care what kind of shape Sky Moore is in. I care about his route running. I care about his footwork, his hands. I care about his relationship and the trust that Mahomes may or may not have in him. That's what I have. I am concerned about all of those things. That's great. He comes into OTAs and voluntary workouts, and oh man, it looks like he's put on 10 or 15 pounds, and oh, it looks, you know, he looks more like a running back than he does a wide receiver. Do I want my wide receiver to look like a running back? Probably not. He's going into his fourth year with a wide receiver room that is much more talented than the one that he showed up in Kansas City with. You saw two top wide receivers in Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice go down before the end of September, and the guy still didn't register a catch last year. Yes, I know he got hurt and he missed a lot of time. He still played in six games. And in those six games, he was targeted three times. Did not register a catch. He's got two touchdowns in his career. One in the Super Bowl when he was wide open, and another one on pretty much the exact same play the next regular season. I'm sorry, but I'm sort of the kind, I'm the type of person where, like, you got to prove it to me. Sky Moore has to prove to me that he deserves to have a roster spot and deserves to be on the field. And him showing up to OTAs 15 pounds heavier and more muscular is not enough for me to have any semblance of faith in Sky Moore. If we're looking at it from a roster standpoint, I think it's far more likely, in my view, that Sky Moore is looking for a job than he is looking at a roster spot with the Kansas City Chiefs this regular season.
Actually, that we only got about 3 minutes left in the segment. So that's interesting you said that. Because I think based on production, I would agree with you. But this organization historically is fond of their own draft picks. They usually let their own draft picks stick it out a little longer than maybe they should. I'm looking at you, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He stayed an extra year in Kansas City. If you start through the roster math of what the wide receiver room looks like, unless you are buying Tyquan Thornton hype over there, I think he's going to be in because the Chiefs historically keep six receivers. Are there six guys right now better than him? You got Rice, Brown, Worthy. Okay. Check, check, and check. Royals, they're not cutting. He's been on the fourth round pick. They're not cutting him. I think Nico Remigio is probably the fifth, but that's kind of where we have a conversation. They keep six usually. That's usually how they play it, or they manipulate it and keep a full. But six is usually the number they're carrying. Can you name a receiver that's better than Sky Moore to be in that six spot who knows the special teams, who knows the system? You know how they love to know the system. And we also got to consider, I think Rashee Rice is going to be suspended at some point this season. So maybe out of camp, it's actually you're carrying seven, but six active guys. Like, I don't want him on the roster. I'm not part of some sort of Sky Moore hive or anything of that nature. But I think you start to do the roster math, unless you're buying Tyquan Thornton hype.
Well, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Even then, that gives you to seven because and Rashee Rice suspension. And even then, I'm not sold on Juju.
I'm not either, but I'm more sold on Juju Smith-Schuster than I am Sky Moore. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster was on the field this year. Even after being, you know, brought in late in the offseason prior to the year, I think Juju Smith-Schuster is closer to wide receiver four or five than he is wide receiver six or seven.
I would just say this, and I'm not trying to defend Sky Moore. Juju Smith-Schuster last year had 200 yards. I mean, it was not exactly gangbusters, and at 28 years old, injury-prone body, he's not exactly a special teams ace. He's not Marcus Kemp out there. He's not Terrence Copper in special teams. Like, and his contract is peanuts right now. He's making basically, you know, by of the earth terms, a lot of money, but of football terms,
right,
not a lot of money. It would not stun me. Now, again, they can roster math it up with Rashee Rice suspension that we believe is coming, but it wouldn't shock me if we get a news alert one day. The Chiefs moved on from Juju as a veteran cut and kept Sky Moore. I don't know what's going to happen, but it wouldn't shock me. Would it shock you to see that happen?
If you're trying to win, yes. I understand loyalty to a guy you drafted in the second round, but it hasn't worked. And at a certain point, it's okay to put your hands up and say, okay, we missed on this one. Sky Moore isn't who we thought he was going to be. Sometimes it's okay to admit we missed on a guy. Because I believe that's what's happened with Sky Moore. You've missed. Whether that is the fault of the organization, whether that's the fault of Sky Moore, whether that's the fault of something that is completely beyond anybody's control, say, you know, injuries like he was dealing with last season, whatever the situation is, it just hasn't worked. And coming off of a year where you were injured, you played in six games, you were targeted only three times and didn't register a catch. How can anybody in their right mind say that it's going to get better when every single year that he's been in the league, it's gotten worse? His numbers got worse from his rookie year to his second year, and they fell completely off the earth from his second year to this past season. I'm not bought in to keeping Sky Moore on this football team. Just where I sit. 913-586-7965 is our number. Much more coming up here on The Drive. We are with you now till 6 o'clock because of the Royals game getting postponed into a split doubleheader tomorrow. So stick around. Logan Weber here filling in for CDOT right here on The Drive on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
An update! Finally, we have an update on the, I guess it's called an extraordinary session within the Missouri legislature. About 20, 25 minutes ago, they finally called session. So about right at 5 o'clock, 7 hours after they were supposed to, they finally got called into session. And you found this on social media, Rob. This came from Hannah Falcon. She is the Missouri Capitol Bureau Chief. She does work for KMOV, KCTV5, a lot of other news organizations around the state covering the Missouri legislature in Jefferson City. And she says, this is courtesy of her Twitter account, new. Governor Mike Kehoe expanded the call for the special session. He's been in closed-door meetings all day negotiating with senators, and now he's meeting their wants to get this stadium deal moving again. So, what that tells us is he's caving. He is very reliant on this stadium deal getting past and continuing to move forward because he's put a lot of eggs in the basket of trying to keep the Chiefs and the Royals in Missouri. He's campaigned on it. He stuck his name to it. He called this session bringing the Missouri legislature back to try to get this thing done, to try to make sure, to try to do everything they can to keep the Chiefs and the Royals in Missouri. And if it fails, that is a huge knock against him and his legacy a year in office. So he's trying to appease both sides. Okay, one side of the aisle wants this. One side of the aisle wants this. Let's give it to them, right? Let's give this side what they want. Let's give that side what they want. And maybe that will be enough to push this thing forward. Will it be enough? I don't know. But we finally have an update. Sounds like, it's to me, it sounds to me like Governor Mike Kehoe is trying to appease both sides of the aisle here in order to get what he wants done. And we'll see if it's enough.
I mean, it's both an update and a non-update. They still have to, in the session, come to all the agreements, but it does sound like he was having meeting on meeting on meeting today to make sure this doesn't slip out of the, I actually prefer extraordinary session as well, slip out of the extraordinary session without getting done. But it's a good step for Missouri. It does not mean it's locked in. It doesn't mean that special session is going to end with a deal, but it sounds like Mike Kehoe is doing everything within his power and ability to keep the teams in Missouri, which no one wants to be the politician that loses the teams. I don't know what happened to the people of St. Louis, the mayor, the congresspeople from that side, the state senators from that side. I don't know when the Rams left. Maybe they all vilified Stan Kroenke to the point where those people got off, you know, clean. But I would imagine when politicians lose teams, they lose jobs. So Mike Kehoe likes his job. He's doing everything he can to keep his job by keeping the teams on this side of the state.
I think that they're smart enough to know that there are more people who follow sports than follow politics. Or at least they may more strongly follow sports than they follow politics, maybe is the better way to phrase that. And to vilify yourself to an entire fan base can be a hard one, especially to try to vilify yourself with Chiefs fans who, you know, some on the Missouri side are going to feel very strongly about this. I live on the Missouri side. I have always lived on the Missouri side. I am a Kansas City Metro kid who grew up on the east side of the river. But I don't care where they go as long as they stay here. As long as I don't see the Royals playing in Nashville or Salt Lake City, I don't care. I'd rather they play in Overland Park. I'd rather they play in Mission. I don't care. Just don't leave the Metro. I'll drive across state lines to continue to watch the Royals and the Chiefs. I won't drive 800 miles. So at the end of the day, I know that there's those people on the Missouri side who will refuse to go over to Kansas to watch them. I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to continue to enjoy the teams that I grew up rooting for. Just my thought. All right. We talked a little bit about this earlier, talking about the Royals. We talked about Noah Cameron or Michael Lorenzen. What happens there? I think there's another conversation that needs to be had, and it's one that is beginning to be had. We've seen it in the text line today. You and I have talked about it. I've heard it talked about from others. At what point do we consider, or have do, are we already at the point where we consider sending down Michael Massey, calling up Cam Devaney? And for my money, the answer is yes. We not only consider it, it should happen before next week. Devaney's hitting .309 in AAA this year. Is that the major league level? No. But hitting .309 in AAA is certainly a hell of a lot better than hitting .204 in the majors. Massey has his faults. He's a good glove. And he can hit at the major league level, but he can't consistently hit. He's got one season above .250 in his career. He's off to the worst start in a season that he's ever had. And he's never going to be a guy who plays every day. Not even as a utility can he play every day, because he's got the back issue. It's going to prevent him from being able to play on a day-to-day basis. I don't know, man. I mean, Devaney is 28 years old. his value will continue to drop the longer he stays in minor league baseball. He has, for his money, played pretty well in the minors over the years. He's nearly a career 260 hitter in minor league baseball. The last 2 years, he's hitting up over 290. That's a guy who's earned an opportunity. And Massey, as good as he was at times last year, he might need a little bit of a reset. He might need a moment where he can kind of rattle the cage a little bit. Okay, you know, we have to sort something out here. Something's not right in my swing. I'm just not seeing the ball very well. My confidence level is a little bit low because of my struggles. Send him down to AAA. Let him try to work through it against slightly lower competition, slightly lower pressure to, you know, pressure to perform, because, you know, playing for the Omaha Storm Chasers is not the same thing as playing for the Kansas City Royals. You're not in a playoff push at the same extent in Omaha as you would be with Kansas City. So, and you're seeing that to some extent, right? When MJ first got down to AAA, he was really hitting the ball poorly. But he's been better as of late in Omaha. Now, I am not advocating for MJ Melendez to make his way back up to the Major League club. That is absolutely not what I'm doing. But there's something to be said for a guy just trying to work his way through it. And trying to work through it in Kansas City, struggling the way he's struggling, you can't justify doing that much longer because it's not helping your team win. In fact, it might be more of a hindrance than anything.
I also think, and I've had this thought for a while about Massey for Devaney, as much as a pro-Cam Devaney take, because what he's doing at the minors has justified at least a shot. Maybe he's a quadruple A player, and we all look back and go, he's Johnny Giovatella. A lot of hype, didn't work out. That's fine. I'm open to that as a result. But as much as this is about Cam Devaney, this is not, if they did this, giving up on Michael Massey. Michael Massey has options. This is not the same as Hunter Renfroe. This is not the same of if they gave up on Mark Canha. This is not the same as, you know, they had to kind of massage the 40-man roster to get Jack Caglione up. Like, this isn't, we have to drop Michael Massey and he hits the free agent pool because we give up on him. He has options on his contract. And we have seen this organization send guys to AAA, get their head right, you know, may have a refresh, hit better down there, and come up and be better. Obviously, Mike Moustakas and Alex Gordon are the extreme examples. This organization did that with those players, and there was success that followed. But to a much lesser extent, Nick Lofton was on the Royals last year. Does anyone remember, oh man, Nick Lofton last year had this really cool moment where as a hitter he did blank? No one remembers that. Drew Waters was constantly up and down with this team. Those guys are now back after spending time in AAA, and they are producing at, I wouldn't say a high level, but a higher level than they had in previous major league stints. So maybe a trip to AAA clears Michael Massey's brain a little bit, gets him a little bit more relaxed, and he's not turning the bat into sawdust, and it's better for everyone. I think this can be a win for everyone, and maybe Michael Massey goes down there, tears the cover off the ball. Devaney's just as bad as Massey, and we flip-flop again, but right now the Massey everyday plan is failing, so you have to adjust.
I think the biggest hurdle for the possibility of a Massey for Devaney situation is, you mentioned the 40-man. Devaney's not currently on the Royals 40-man roster, and as of now, that 40-man roster is full. They've got 42 guys on the 40-man roster. Now, yes, that sounds a little bit confusing, but when you consider that both Alec Marsh and James MacArthur are on the 60-day IL, they can remain on the 40-man roster, but they don't eat up that roster spot. So they can keep guys extended beyond that. So with Devaney not being on the 40-man roster, if he were to make the call up to the show, something's going to have to give. Somebody is going to have to be taken off the 40-man roster, which would mean that they would hit waivers and have to clear waivers for 3 days before returning to the club. Or they could get picked up by somebody else. So who is that guy? Who's number 40 on the 40-man roster? based off of what I've seen, it's probably Joey Weimer. Guy who was a part of the Jonathan India, Brady Singer trade, who is struggling and struggling mightily this year down in AAA, hitting under 180 so far this year. He does, you know, he got to the show with Cincinnati, part of a couple different, he was played in Milwaukee and then Cincinnati, but was a career 201 hitter across 153 games and is now hitting below the Mendoza line in AAA. What's the likelihood somebody's going to take a flyer on Joey Weimer through waivers? I'm not sure that's entirely plausible. I would say Weimer is a guy you could consider taking off the 40-man roster, DFAing him, through putting him through waivers, giving Devaney that roster spot, and make the move. Devaney for Massey. And if it works, it works. Fantastic. If it doesn't, it doesn't, and you can continue to make changes. But you got to try at some point. Try all the avenues you can from within the organization before you take a chance, before you take a big swing at a bat at the deadline, which I still think the Royals will do. No question about it in my mind. 913-586-7965 is our number. We're going to come back and wrap up the show next. You're listening to The Drive. Logan Weber alongside Rob Britton right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Even when it's baseball season, it's somehow still football season. It's football season when it's basketball season. Football dominates the news cycle. I want to close out today's show, The Drive, here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber on today. C. Dot out. He is hopefully going to be able to enjoy a Kendrick Lamar concert in St. Louis. It's indoor, so I think there's more of a likelihood that the event still goes on, but there is some severe weather hitting that area right now and will continue to, so might throw a wrench into some things there. That would suck. Take the day off and go to St. Louis to enjoy a concert and it ends up getting canceled because of severe weather. Be a tough one to swallow there, C-Dot. But I was looking earlier today and I saw this article courtesy of ESPN. And they're talking about, even with the NFL season being almost 100 days away, we're still talking about the NFL. There's always something to discuss in the National Football League. And ESPN started hypothesizing some trades, specifically surrounding three of the biggest names in that trade market right now. The Atlanta Falcons' Kirk Cousins, Trey Hendrickson of the Cincinnati Bengals, and Jalen Ramsey with the Los Angeles Rams. So, they put together some hypotheticals. And I'm just kind of going to run down these and kind of give my reactions to it. So one of the hypotheticals that they are pitching for Kirk Cousins, Jeremy Fowler suggests that the Cleveland Browns would get Kirk Cousins in a 7th-round pick, and the Falcons would get Kenny Pickett, a 6th-round pick, and cash considerations. Now, what that would mean for the Falcons is a 1-round pick of difference, maybe a little bit of cash along the way, but the bigger thing there is that you're trading a backup for a backup in Kenny Pickett and a much cheaper backup quarterback at that. I think it continues to solidify your faith in Michael Penix as your guy in the future. They'd save a lot of money in the long run. Dan Graziano throws out the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings get Kirk Cousins. The Falcons get a 5th-round pick in 2026, a 7th-round pick in 2027, and cash considerations. The problem with that is, I think the Vikings go right back to square one again. You drafted J.J. McCarthy. He has the injury. He gets beat out by Sam Darnold. You let Sam Darnold walk because you have a belief in who J.J. McCarthy is. Why would you make this move again? Why would you put J.J. McCarthy in another situation like that if you have a belief in him? And then there's the one that I think makes the most sense, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Falcons get a sixth-round pick that could be a fifth-rounder with performance conditions, and the Steelers get Kirk Cousins and cash considerations. The Steelers need a quarterback. I don't think it should be Aaron Rodgers, but that might just be because I'm an Aaron Rodgers hater. 100%. I got the pin and everything. I'm in the Aaron Rodgers hate fan club. And the Falcons are able to offload that contract. And if he does play and play considerably for the Steelers, which right now he would because they don't have a quarterback, then you are able to walk away with a mid-round pick there with a fifth rounder, depending on the performance conditions. Another person suggests the Minnesota Vikings, in which the Falcons would get Sam Howell and the Vikings would get Cousins. Falcons would also get some cash considerations. For Trey Hendrickson, Fowler mentions the Colts. There's mention of the Buffalo Bills. And I have to say the price tag on him, much, much higher. The Lions and the Commanders. The Lions is an intriguing one for me. They're suggesting a second rounder and a fourth rounder that could become a third rounder in exchange for Hendrickson and a fifth round pick. The Lions need defensive line help. Aiden Hutchinson got hurt. What does he look like coming back off the injury? I like the idea of the Lions for Trey Hendrickson. And then Jalen Ramsey. I said Rams. I meant the Dolphins. But the Rams are a team that they are throwing out there as a possible trade partner. And his value has dropped dramatically. They threw out Carolina, and that's one that gives me some thought. Try to pair him with another couple of young DBs. Gives the Dolphins room to allow their young DBs to grow. I like it. And that'll do it for tonight's program. For Rob Britton, I'm Logan Weber. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in, despite CDOT being out. He'll be back with you guys tomorrow, right here on The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.